Saram, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our Thursday live programs. Till now, you are listening to a live broadcast from the Sai Kulanthal, Prashant Nilam, and today being Thursday, you heard a bhajan sung by Bhagwan himself. And every time we listen to Bhagwan sing, and every time we imagine that scenario when Swami sings and the whole crowd joins in jubilation, the aura that emanates in the ashram, the aura that permeates all around, the vibration and the energy that it creates is something always so sublimating, and we always wonder, wow, what a magic. And it is this magic of Sai Bhajans that Swami tried to inculcate in us right from the time He declared His avatarhood. It started with Manasa Bhajari Guru Charanam, and it continues. Every discourse He sang, He ended with a bhajan, only to teach us how to so powerfully use this medium to connect with the Divine. And the Divine did it Himself, demonstrated to us how to do it. If only we realize the latent power potent in Sai Bhajans. And it is to help all of us in this endeavor, in our own little way, that we in Radio Sai have this program, Bhajan Tutor. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and it's time now to learn one more bhajan on this beautiful Thursday. So let's close our eyes, ruminate on His beautiful form. Think of the name and the form are just one and the same. Let us pour out a prayer from our heart and begin this session to learn a new medium to connect with the Divine.
Let us offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we strive to fashion our lives in such a manner that we live up to Your expectations every moment of our existence. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we take a bhajan where we adore our beloved Lord Sai as Lord Sai Ganesha. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Gauri Nandana Balagajanana.
So this is the bhajan we will be learning now. It has five lines in all. It is in the language Sanskrit. And we will begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on like always and learn its tune, the raga it belongs to, the rhythm of this bhajan, the meaning of its every word. And in the end, we will listen to an excerpt of a conversation that I had with Brother Sonam, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who is a gifted singer and a magnificent composer of many Sai bhajans. So that is coming up towards the end of this program. For the moment, let's get started with the lyrics.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana Gajavadana Gananatha Gajanana Maha Ganapate Pahi Gajanana Gajanana Sai Gajanana.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line very slowly. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Ravi Kumar after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh. This will surely help you to get a grasp of the tune of this bhajan.
Gauri This bhajan is being sung in the scale B sharp madhyam. Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
Gajavadana Gananatha Gajanana.
Gajavadana Gananatha Gajanana.
Gajavadana Gananatha Gajanana.
Gajavadana Gananatha Gajanana.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana.
Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana.
Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana.
Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana.
Gajanana Sai Gajanana.
Gajanana Sai Gajanana.
Gajanana Sai Gajanana.
Gajanana Sai Gajanana.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
So that is how this bhajan flows, and you heard it in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about the technicalities behind this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, is this bhajan based on any particular raga?
Saram Vishu, this bhajan is based on rag Hindolam in the Carnatic classical music, and we call it Malkons in the Hindustani music. I think we have done some bhajan sessions before based on this raga, Malkons.
I think we have quite a few Sai bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, we have many bhajans, and this raga has 5 notes, Arohana and Avarohana. I'll sing the Arohana and Avarohana.
Sure.
Sa ga ma dha ni sa sa ni da ma ga sa.
So you have both ni and ga komal.
Yeah.
Ni one and ga one.
Yeah. This is Malkons, and if you just change the note ni from shuddh, if you change the note ni from komal to shuddh, it becomes Chandrakons.
Sa ga ma da ni sa sa ni da ma ga sa.
When you hear the bhajan, apart from the ni part, other notes may sound similar to Hindolam. So, before people guessing the raga as Malkons or Chandrakons,
we will have to see how the knee is being treated.
Yeah, so let's wait till the bhajan gets over, hear all the lines, and then...
Yes, then decide on the raga.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so please go on, Anirudh. Give us a small demonstration for the benefit of the listeners, but how melodious is Malkons?
Sure.
Ah,
Amazing. Well, it really sounds so powerful, and I think that is very typical of all the bhajans which are based on this raga. So shall we go on with this bhajan, Anirudh?
Yeah, sure.
Gauri Nandana Balagajanana Mama gasa sani gasa dani sa gasa gaga mama.
Mama gasa sani gasa dani sa gasa gaga mama.
Gajavadana gananath gajanana. Gamadani sani dani ne dama maga dama gasa.
Gamadani sani dani ne dama maga dama gasa.
And again we come back to the first line, Gauri Nandana.
Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana Dada Dada Nidamaga Gamadani Sa Sa Sa
Dada Dada Nidamaga Gamadani Sa Sa Sa
Gajanana Sai Gajanana. Sani sa gaga sani ni ni dama gaga dama gasa.
Sani sa gaga sani ni ni dama gaga dama gasa.
See, actually in this bhajan we give many small touches which are very subtle. What we do line by line swaras is that the basic tune we just noted down as swaras.
Yes, the basic skeleton.
The basic skeleton, yeah. But if we go deeper into it, we can even break all that subtle variations into small swaras.
Yes.
Which will become little complicated to follow and learn also. So, for benefit of listeners, just to learn the basic tune,
yes,
the skeleton, so we write the swaras,
yes,
like this.
I think once you know the raga, you will consciously and unconsciously beautify the bhajan.
Yeah.
And that,
no, why I'm saying is that people might say that the swaras written and what we sing as a bhajan might little differ,
yeah,
from line to line little bit.
Yeah.
That's what. That depends on the touches and
correct. Each singer treats this raga.
Yeah. Even those touches touch these notes and come.
Yes.
That's what. So as a whole, it belongs to this raga Hindolam in this skeleton.
Correct. Wonderful. So what are the other bhajans in this raga?
Many bhajans come to my mind when I think of Hindolam.
Daya karo Shiva Ganga Dhari.
Beautiful,
yes,
bhajan.
Yes.
Hari Om Namah Shivaya.
And also one more.
Rama Charana Sukhadai Bhajore.
And one more Ganesha bhajan.
Jaya 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 He Gajanana.
So, as you mentioned, there are plenty of Sai bhajans in this raga. So, let's move on and discuss about the beat of this bhajan.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Adi Talam. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. 2, 3, 4, 1.
Gauri Nandana Balagajanana.
Okay, so that really explains the beat. Thank you so much, Arvind Sai, for demonstrating the beat on the Kanjira, and Anirudh for explaining the raga and elaboration of the tala. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vishu. Sairam.
Sairam.
So now that we are familiar with the lyrics, the raga and tala of this bhajan, let us move on to understanding the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung.
so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to our beloved Lord. For this, we need to know the meaning of all the words of this composition. So let's begin with the first line.
Gauri Nandana Balagajanana.
The first word here is Gauri, referring to Mother Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva. Literally, Gauri means she who is shining and brilliant with a fair complexion. The second word is Nandana, meaning sun. Third word is Bala, which means child. The fourth word is Gajanana, coming from Gaja, meaning elephant, and Anana refers to face. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, Lord Ganesha is the son of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, and there is an interesting legend regarding the birth of Lord Ganesha. Once Mother Parvati was preparing to go for a shower and she wanted someone to stand as a guard. Nandi, the divine bull, was always with Lord Shiva, but Parvati felt that she had no one loyal to her. So Mother Parvati took a little turmeric paste that she had applied on her body, and using it she created the image of a boy and then breathed life into that image. And that is how was born Ganesha. Well, her loyal son did guard her sincerely. But so sincere was Ganesha that even when Lord Shiva wanted to enter inside, he did not allow him. And so, as the story goes, a battle followed between Lord Shiva and the son, resulting in Lord Shiva beheading his own son. When Mother Parvati saw this, she was inconsolable, and so Lord Brahma, the creator, suggested that Lord Shiva should replace the boy's head with the head of the first living being that he came across, which lay with its head facing north. Lord Shiva then sent his attendants to find such a head, and they found a dying elephant sleeping in this manner. After its death, they took its head and attached it to the boy's body, and then Lord Ganesha was brought back to life. Lord Shiva then made him the leader of all the celestial armies or ganas, and thus he came to be known as Ganesha. So that is the story of how Ganesha got the face of an elephant, but there is a deep inner meaning in this tale. It drives home the point that when we are totally loyal to our mother, we automatically gain her blessings and become invincible. And also, if you think deeper, even though Mother Parvati created Ganesha, Lord Shiva, the divine father, indeed recreated Ganesha with a new head. Ganesha was too proud of his valor and did not even recognize his divine father. So that ego head had to be removed. When ego was beheaded, now the divine father then blessed him with a new head, the head of wisdom, symbolized by the elephant head. And not only that, he then made him the leader among all deities. With wisdom, we become the leader. The second word, Nandana, also means to gladden or delight. A true son is one who gladdens and delights his mother. Bhagwan often spoke of the five mothers for a person, namely the physical mother or Deha Mata, the cow that gives us sustaining milk or Gomata, the land that grows the crops that feed us, also called as Bhumata, the holy motherland in which we are born or Desha Mata, and finally the heritage of spiritual treasure that reveals the aim and purpose of human life and takes us towards the goal of self-realization, also called as Vedamata. Bhagwan always exhorts everyone to respect all these five mothers. So when we think of Mother Parvati, the divine mother, let us remember the different manifestations of this Divine Mother principle and pay our obeisance to each one of them. Let us strive to be ideal sons of these different mothers, starting from our own physical mother. So when we sing this line, Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana, we call out to the elephant-faced Lord Ganesha, who is the beloved son of Mother Parvati or Gauri. We seek his blessing so that we too may become ideal sons and please our physical mothers and all the other different manifestations of the Divine Mother principle. Let's move on to the second line.
Gajavadana Gananatha Gajanana.
Here the first word is Gajavadana. Gaja means elephant and Vadana means face. Gananatha, the second word, comes from Gana and Natha. Gana refers to a group of powerful spirits who are the attendants of Lord Shiva. It is they who constitute Lord Shiva's army. Natha means Lord or Master. It's quite interesting that Ganesha, even as a little child, was chosen as the master of this powerful army. How did this happen? In a discourse in September 10, 1984, on the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi, the day celebrating the advent of Lord Ganesha, Bhagwan revealed Ganapati, who was endowed with supreme intelligence which enabled him to understand the all-encompassing nature of the Divine, subjected himself to a test by which he could impart to the world this intelligence. So what was this test? Let me narrate this story briefly. Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva once wanted to examine their two sons, Ganesha and Subramanya, and told them to go around the world and return. Ganesha did not move from his place, but Subramanya mounted his peacock and with a lot of effort completed the trip. As he was returning, Ganesha saw him from a distance and immediately went around his parents three times and then claimed himself to be the winner. When Mother Parvati asked Ganesha to justify his claim, he said, "O Mother, the cosmos is the combination of matter and energy, the unity of father and mother. When I go around you, I have gone around the world itself, since you are the parents of the cosmos. There is no place where you too are not present. I see your omnipresence. By circumambulating both of you, I can claim to have gone round the entire cosmos." Bhagwan narrated this story on one occasion and said, the moment Shiva heard these words, he was astonished at the high intelligence of his son and said, "You are an exemplary son for one and all. We are your parents, but not more intelligent than you. Hence, before offering worship to me, let all people first worship you. This is the boon I confer on you." Bhagwan further added, "Shiva is a parent who conferred such an honor of a higher status than his own to his own son. Hence, Ganesha represents no commonplace principle. He is the embodiment of all potencies. He is the abode of every kind of intelligence." Thus, Ganesha was made the master of the Ganas and was also given the first place in all ritualistic worship. Regarding the word Ganas, Swami says that Ga stands for intellect and Na for Vijnana or higher knowledge. Therefore, Ganesha means the Lord of the intellect and higher knowledge. Bhagwan adds that we can find Lord Ganesha within ourselves in the form of these two, intellect and wisdom. Moving on, the third word is Gajanana, which we already know. Now, what is the inner meaning of Lord Ganesha having an elephant face? Baba explains, the elephant is proverbially the most intelligent among the mammals and it is vegetarian, indicating its sattvic nature. Ganapati has the head of the elephant, for it indicates the intelligence through which obstacles in the path of achievement, be it secular or spiritual, can be overcome. with the blessings of Lord Ganesha. Swami has also said that elephant head denotes intelligence and qualities of leadership. The elephant in the jungle symbolizes might and magnitude because it creates its own path. Not only that, it shows others the way. It is not only very intelligent, but is also known, Swami says, for its loyalty and gratitude. Baba always emphasizes that intelligence without gratitude is of no use. So that is another very beautiful lesson, powerful lesson that we need to learn from the elephant face of Lord Ganesha. So in this line, Gajavardhana, Gananatha, Gajanana, we bow down to the elephant-faced Lord who is the master of intellect and higher knowledge, the one who removes all obstacles on our path, whether they are worldly or spiritual, the one who bestows on us supreme intelligence. He is the Lord who teaches us to always practice loyalty and gratitude in our lives. Let's move on to the third line.
Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Let me recall here a couple of sweet incidents shared by Mr. Vedanarayan. He joined Bhagwan's college in Whitefield, Bangalore in 1976. On the holy occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi that year, Bhagwan came to the hostel and brought with him the esteemed Vedic scholar Brahmashri Kamavadhani Garu. Swami wanted him to perform the ritualistic worship of Lord Ganesha. The students had made a Ganesha idol, and Bhagwan personally came and sat with them to watch the proceedings of this worship. As the students performed the rituals, Swami casually asked, "Where is Ganesha?" But the scholar Kamavadhani Garu could not answer. And the next moment, Bhagwan waved his hand and out came a beautiful silver idol of Lord Ganesha. Swami placed the idol in the shrine and then asked again, "How can the son be without the mother? The mother also should be present." And saying this, Bhagwan's hand moved in a circle again, and this time he materialized a lovely statue of Mother Parvati. He handed over this statue too and said that both Mother Parvati and her son Ganesha should be worshipped. Mr. Vednarayan says that he clearly remembers this amazing scene because it was the first time everyone saw Bhagwan creating a Ganesha idol as well as a Parvati idol. The Ganapati Atharva Shisham, a sacred Vedic hymn dedicated to Lord Ganesha, describes how Ganesha should be worshipped and also describes a powerful Bija Mantra or a potent mantra. It is said that if one chants this mantra sincerely, one would be blessed with the vision of Lord Ganesha. And Mr. Vedanarayan, who was very attached to Lord Ganesha and prayed to him sincerely, also wanted to have a vision of Lord Ganesha, and he wanted to test the efficacy of this Bija Mantra. And so he began chanting this mantra sincerely according to all scriptural injunctions. And when he finished this practice, he says, one day Bhagwan indeed blessed him with the vision of himself as Lord Ganesha in the form of a little baby. Baby Ganesha had a small trunk and small ears and kept shaking his head gently and sweetly. Mr. Vedanarayan says that it was a lovely and enthralling experience to behold this cute and lovely form of sweet little Ganesha. On Ganesh Chaturthi day of 1994, Swami said, "The elephant has large ears and it can even hear minute sounds. Shravanam, or hearing the glory of the Lord, is the first step in spiritual sadhana. And for this, the ears should be sharp. And after hearing, one has to ruminate over what is heard and then put into practice. And this is what is called Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhidhyasanam." So in this line, Gauri Nandana Bala Gajanana, we bow reverentially to the cute elephant-faced Lord Ganesha, the beloved son of Mother Parvati, the one of intelligence who shows us how to always be devoted to our parents and how to tune ourselves to the Lord constantly. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana.
The first word here is Mahaganapate, coming from Maha, Gana and Pate. Maha means great. We already know the word Gana. The other word is Pate, meaning Lord or Master. The second word is Pahi, meaning protect. The third word is Gajanana, which we already discussed. Let me at this point share the moving experience of an incredibly dynamic and enthusiastic Radio Sai volunteer, Sai Kaustubh Das Gupta, who designs Radio Sai banners and calendars and also banners for our Facebook page, among many other things that he does for Radio Sai team. Though he suffers from a condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, which is also called brittle bone disease, his zeal and spirit of service is simply matchless. The only limbs of his body that function normally are his neck, facial muscles, and two fingers of the left hand. Yet, he churns out creative artwork on the computer with the precision and sharpness of a seasoned professional. In August 2006, Kaustubh started complaining of persistent pain in his right thigh. It became so severe that he could neither sit nor sleep. His parents consulted a reputed orthopedic surgeon in a hospital in Bangalore. It was diagnosed that he had a malignant tumor. The scans and biopsy report showed that it was cancer and that he might not live for long. His parents were terribly, terribly heartbroken because they could not imagine living without him. They had served him religiously all their life and they could not think of a day when they would not be with their son, serving him and looking after him. They continuously cried within but did not tell anything to Kaustubh. When they reached home, they placed Kaustubh on his bed and the father, Mr. Kaushik, headed straight to Lord Ganesha, the shrine inside the Prashanti Nilayam ashram. It was past 9 in the night and the ashram gate was about to be closed. Mr. Kaushik requested a sevadal to let him in, and once inside, he stood in front of Lord Ganesha and sobbed uncontrollably. He pleaded with Lord Ganesha to have mercy on his son and to show them a way out. After a while, he felt like taking some prasadam for Kaustubh and he asked the sevadal to give him a piece from the coconuts offered at the shrine. But the sevadal refused as it was against the rules. Mr. Kaushik pleaded with him, but the sevadal did not oblige. Absolutely dejected, Mr. Kaushik prostrated before the Lord in sorrow and distress. But as he raised his head, a cute and bright little boy lovingly tapped him and gave him a piece of coconut. And the moment Mr. Kaushik accepted this prasadam, this boy was gone. He asked the sevadal if he saw in which direction the little boy went, and the sevadal said, "Which boy?" He asked him again, "Did you not see a boy come here and give me prasadam now?" And the sevadal replied, "No, no one came here now." And Mr. Kaushik was stupefied, and he immediately rushed home and put the prasadam in his son's mouth. He was convinced that this indeed was a special blessing from the Lord. And the next few days were the most restless days of their lives. On the fifth day, Mr. Kaushik called the hospital to ask for the report, but they did not give it then. A few days later, Mr. Kaushik again rang up the hospital and now vented his anger at them for delaying in sending the report by almost 10 days. Finally, the hospital faxed the scan findings. And now the report, as Mr. Kaushik saw, did not mention anything about the malignant tumor. In fact, there was no mention of the word tumor at all. And Mr. Kaushik was surprised, so he rushed to the hospital in Bangalore to see the surgeon. But all the surgeon said were two words,
God knows. So Mr. Kaushal then went to the pathology laboratory in the hospital, and there he was told, Mr. Kaushik, yours is a very mystifying case. The fact is that the CT scans and the first biopsy report showed the prevalence of cancer. But somehow, when the second CT biopsy was done on the same day, indicated nothing to this effect. The tumor itself was not to be seen in the second report. So this was very confusing. It was absolutely unexplainable. So we sent this case to the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, New Delhi, and to another premier hospital in Hyderabad to get more opinions, because it cannot be that one day the report shows that it is tumor and the second day the tumor is not there. Finally, after having consulted many hospitals, we have concluded that there is neither the tumor nor is there any cancer. However, we cannot understand how this happened. And as Mr. Kaushik returned from the hospital, the joy that he experienced cannot be described. He thanked his Lord, his Ganesha, his Baba, and now he was more convinced than ever that Swami would never leave him, come what may. He knew that he is with him, he was with him, and will always be with him. So in this line, Mahaganapati, Pahi Gajanana, we seek the protection of this all-powerful, elephant-faced, mighty Lord, the benign Master who always runs to protect and save his devotees. We now come to the last line.
Gajanana Sai Gajanana.
The only new word here is Sai, referring to our beloved Lord Sai. So in this line, Gajanana, Sai, Gajanana, we pay our obeisance to Lord Sai, who is indeed the source of all knowledge, all power, all wisdom and all grace. And with that, we have attempted at gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. With this deeper understanding, let's now proceed to listening to the complete version of this bhajan. You will now hear the bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
Gauri Nandana Bal Gajanana. Gauri Nandana Bal Gajanana. Gajavadana Gananath Gajanana. Gajavadana Gananath Gajanana. Gauri Nandana Bal Gajanana. Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana. Mahaganapate Pahi Gajanana. Gajanana Sai Gajanana. Gajanana Sai Gajanana. Gauri Nandana Bal Gajanana. गजवदनाथ गजानन महागणपते पाहि गजानन गजानन साई गजानन गजानन साई गजानन
And now in the last part of this program, here is an excerpt from a conversation I had with Brother Sonam, a senior alumnus of Baba's University, an extremely gifted singer and composer of many Sai Bhajans.
But here in Prashanti Nilayam, one of the inspirations that used to be very powerful for composing bhajan were the students. Like the demand of the students who were exclusively beautiful singers. And each one of them had, you know, a different style of singing. And if I could really call it, you know, not the run-of-the-mill style of singing bhajan. But each person had developed his own style while singing before Bhagwan. And some of them would tell me that, you know, we are running short of Ganesh bhajans. Why don't you compose a bhajan in Ganesh? I had just listened to a beautiful classical composition, that Vatapi Ganapatim. And I thought that, oh, somebody told me that this raga is wedded to Sri Ganesh.
Yes.
So anyone who can compose a beautiful bhajan in raga Hamsadhani would be beautiful. You know, would be really graced by Bhagwan. I was praying to Bhagwan, and a very light version of Hamsadhani was expressed at that point of time when I just joined Prashant in line for my postgraduate PG course. I'll just sing a part of it because the whole world knows this beautiful bhajan.
Lambodare Gauri Nandan Vigna Vinashak Shubhanana.
So how was Bhagwan's response when this was first time offered to him?
Normally every day the response from Bhagwan used to be almost the same. Like in the morning he would ask us, is there anything new today? And the whole gesture would be, most of the times, like it used to be, especially after we would come back from vacation. And this was a time, much after I had joined Prashanti Nilayam. At that point of time, Swami would ask us, have you learned anything new?
Okay.
Are you singing anything new in the evening? Swami would ask us. And we had to be prepared. So boys used to, by any means, they had to collect new compositions, new songs. That was the time when we were flushed with that type of excitement, that exhilaration of learning new songs and singing it here. And out there, throughout the world, people would be waiting for us to come and collect those bhajans. So we were almost bhajan collectors there. And we could introduce the bhajan before Bhagwan. And then Swami would accept the bhajan with those beautiful gestures of Bhagwan. And then the bhajan would be accepted here and become officially known.
Fantastic. I think this is such a beautiful bhajan in that Hamsadhani raga. They always say that this is the raga, as you mentioned. In every classical concert, they start with this raga.
Yes.
And you have used so many appellations of Lord Ganesha. It's almost filled with the appellations of Lord Ganesha.
Lord Ganesha. And maybe, Vishu, this is one of the most beautiful ways of Bhagwan telling us that each one of you, there were times when, you know, there were exclusive saint singers.
Yes.
Saint devotees, you know, who
poet
composed,
saints,
poet
yeah.
saints, who composed for posterity. But now is a time, Bhagwan, the Satya Sai Avatar is so special, and in the idiom of music, I have come to understand this, that he has taught each one of us, inspired each one of us to become a Mirabai, a Tyagraj. You know, each one of us should be...
Absolutely.
Yeah, at that level. I mean, at the
yes.
level of not a musical accomplishment.
Yes.
But at the level of our devotion, our supplication to the Lord.
Yes.
Each one of us, we have the potential to rise up to that transcendental level. And Swami has taught that to us in the idiom of music, in the idiom of bhajan.
So that was Brother Sonam from Sikkim, who belongs to the earliest batch of students of Marburg University and who is very active in the propagation of the Sai Bhajan movement, not only in his home state of Sikkim, but all over India and in fact in many parts of this world. And this brings us to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you found this useful. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishna. We offer this humble attempt at the lotus feet of our most merciful, beloved Mother Sai.
And with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Life. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash, along with a young guest, are waiting to take over for our next segment, Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam, the program based on Bhagwan's divine discourses. So bask in the message, the eternal message of Swami, and 1 hour from now, after this program at 8:35, I'll meet again. We will have a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and today we discuss about Bhagwan's divine abode in Hyderabad, in the capital of Andhra Pradesh, Shivam. On one occasion, Swami said, Shivam Sai Hridayam. Shivam is the heart of Sai. So what is so special about this divine abode of Bhagwan? How has it got this beautiful shape of lingam? And how Bhagwan has suffused this place with so much of his divine, miraculous and potent power? What has been the message of Bhagwan every time he came to Shivam? And how are the devotees and the Sai youth and Shivam been trying to live up to this message? We will ruminate on some aspects of this beautiful abode of Bhagwan in Shivam, because this is the month of April. April 4th is Shivam anniversary. The 41st anniversary of Shivam was celebrated just a couple of days ago. So we will dwell on this beautiful aspect from the trilogy of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. We focus on Shivam in 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam Mananam Nityadhyasanam. Thank you so much and Sai Ram.